Hey, good morning. I'm Pastor Sean. If I haven't gotten a chance to meet you yet, so glad that you are here. For those of you watching online as well, you know, our hope is that you would be reminded today of how much God loves you and that you would be encouraged to take a next step in your faith, whatever that looks like. And so whether it's through the worship or the prayer time or the message or your time just gathering together, man, we just pray that you have an encounter with Jesus today. And excited to dig into this new series that Pastor Crystal kicked off last week on our values. We're calling it This Is How You Do This. If you got your Bibles, we're going to be in John chapter 1, verse 14 for just a minute. And then we're going to be in Luke chapter 19. So if you want to like stay somewhere, Luke 19 is the place to be today if you're looking to stay in one spot. And so Matthew, Mark, Luke, and we'll find there. We'll look at a couple stories there as well. But I want to start off the message today with John chapter 1, verse 14. I just want to read it, and then we're going to pray and jump in. So word of the Lord. The Word, speaking of Jesus, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Full of grace and truth. God, we thank you for your word. Spirit, would you speak what is true to each one of our hearts today? And we know, Lord, that your word does not come back void. And so we ask that you would help make us receptive people today to what you want to teach us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, like I said, we jumped into this new series, and you know, sermons sometimes take on different forms. Sometimes they're like teaching, and sometimes they're preaching. This one is a little bit more teaching in terms of what we're looking at over this series for our values, and we call this is how we do this, staying together on mission. And every church has an ecosystem. Basically, it's made up of their mission and their values, their discipleship strategy, and so on. And our mission is what gives us direction. And it tells us why we exist, why we gather together, why Life Community Church is here. And we say that by our mission is to connect people to Jesus and their life's purpose. Our hope, our goal, and every time we open the doors and all the things that we do is to help connect you to Jesus and your life's purpose. Now, every church that confesses Jesus is Lord really has the same mission, right? To call and equip people to a life of allegiance to Jesus, the King. But what makes us a little different from, you know, maybe the folks over at Calvary or across town at Suburban or Grace City is our values and how we begin to live out that mission, that way that we've been uniquely designed to accomplish the mission of connecting people to Jesus and their life's purpose. We call those our values. And the values are what shapes our culture. Our values are how we do this, right? How we do life together, how we help connect people to Jesus and their life's purpose. And our values help us to stay together on mission. Anybody notice that it's getting harder and harder to stay together these days, right? That the church has an awesome opportunity to show people what it means to link arms with one another around a common mission of helping people come to know Jesus and discover their purpose. And the church really is the people of God together on mission. And our values help us all pull together in the same direction. We've used this example of rowing together, right? Here's just a picture of that 1936 Olympic team, right? When we all row together, we experience exponential results, right? We get somewhere faster and more efficient. And our values are how we all pull together in the same direction. We currently have 5 values here at LCC. They've been here since 1939, right, when our doors opened downtown at what is now the Angry Beaver, right? And they've been here. They've been a part of our DNA for a really long time. And we've had seasons where they've been really good and seasons when they have been not so good, kind of like a normal family. But from the beginning, they really have defined who we are and how we go about our mission. We've got 5 of them. Personal connection, wholeheartedness, generosity, optimism, and growth. And we're going to talk about them. We talk about them a lot. So if you've been around here at all, you hear us. They almost show up in every single message and the things that we do. And then from time to time, we teach on them specifically. Every couple of years, we kind of go back through them to help us remember that this is how we do this. This is the way we go about connecting people to Jesus and their life's purpose. Last week, Pastor Crystal talked about the value of growth, that we believe that healthy things grow, and that we're going to be a church and a people who grow, and that there really is no such thing as a stagnant Christian. Y'all know that there's no growth in the comfort zone, right? That when we find our places of comfort, which we all like to do, that's when we start to kind of retreat a little bit. That's when we kind of get stagnant. And so we want to help push each other just enough, not into the panic zone, because there's also no growth in the panic zone, right? But if we get uncomfortable enough that where we grow together, because we were meant to grow. And I encourage you, if you missed last week, you can go back and hit Pastor Crystal's message on YouTube or catch it on Spotify, as well as the follow-up podcast. But this week, I want to talk to you about the value of personal connection. So we believe that everything changes when it's someone you know. Literally, everything changes when it's someone you know. For me, it was when I was in elementary school. Her name was Sandy Cromwell, and she was my Sunday school teacher, and she knew that all the boys in her Sunday school class loved baseball. And so she came up, I don't know where she found it, but she came up with Bible baseball, right? And that made me, she made a personal connection with us that made me want to be in that room with her. And then when I got into middle school and high school, it was a guy named Sam West. And Sam was the coolest. He had a sand volleyball court in his yard. And we just thought it was amazing with this trampoline. And we had youth group at his house. And he knew, right, that my dad was also the pastor, right? So because obviously he was volunteering at the church. And he knew that I didn't get a lot of time with my dad because of his work as a pastor, and took me into his shop one day, and we got on the wood lathe together and built this cup that I still have in my office. It meant so much to me that Sam would see me. And then it was Gordy Johnson who taught me fly fishing and would take us out and let us run around in the woods and be crazy and taught me how to fish. And then in college, it was a guy named Ron Fay who saw something in me that I didn't see in myself and pulled me aside and said, hey, I believe in what God's doing in you, and you need to go after it, and I'm going to give you some opportunities. And then it was Forrest Collins who says, hey, I want to partner with what God's doing in you and help come alongside you, and then would you be willing to meet with me every Monday morning at 6 a.m. for prayer? These people that took an investment in me, that made a personal connection in me, that really changed everything. And see, we're all in this room today because of personal connection. Right? And we actually believe, this is crazy, we actually believe that no one shows up here on their own accord, that you didn't just show up here on accident. We believe the Holy Spirit is personally at work at every person in this room. And you may think you showed up here on your own, but it's the Holy Spirit from a personal God that stirred you, that stirred that desire in you to begin with, that God was making a personal connection with you. Like, we're all in this room because of personal connection. Whether it was years ago in your life, right, or someone in this room right now, right? Someone talked to you about Jesus when you were a kid, or invited you to church, or told you to get on the bus because we're going, right? That you're here. Somebody made you feel welcomed and seen when you walked into the room. At our church, we value personal connection because we believe that people matter to God. You matter to God. Every person in this earth matters to God. We open and hold doors. We help people find seats, right? We ask for connect cards. We have age-appropriate environments for children and students. We drive the bus to milestones. We partner with Love Inc. We show up at our local schools because we believe that people matter to God. People matter to God so much so that God gets personal. That God gets personal with each one of us. People matter so much to God that it gets personal. We read this at the beginning, John 1, 14. Right? The Word, this is the Apostle John talking about Jesus, right? The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. This is good news today. That God comes in the person of Jesus Christ. God moves towards us. God pursues us. God demonstrates to us in the person of Jesus Christ that personal connection matters, that everything changes when it's someone you know. And we're going to look at a couple of stories in Luke 19 in just a minute. But this is good news today, right? That God loved us so much that God would make it personal. That God loved us so much that he would take on flesh so that we could know a personal God, have a personal relationship with God. That Jesus shows us that God is personal. And a personal connection with God through Jesus Christ can change your life. And this is why in our mission statement, right, that your life's purpose is connected to a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, because you were made for it. And your purpose only makes sense in the context of a relationship with Jesus Christ, because you were made to be in relationship with Jesus, and you will always be searching for it outside of a relationship with Jesus Christ. You will always feel like you never are quite there outside of a relationship with Jesus Christ, because you were made to be in relationship with Jesus, and you discover who you are fully within that relationship with him. We find ultimate fulfillment, and we believe you can have a personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ. By confessing your allegiance to Jesus as Lord, by believing in his life, death, and resurrection, and his current ascension on the throne. Romans 10 makes it really clear. He says, if you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That for it is with your heart that you believe and it is with your and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. As scripture says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame. And the good news is you don't have to earn it. Amen? Somebody say amen. Right? Are you with me? All right, this is good news, right? That somebody, like, you don't have to earn it. You don't have to necessarily work for it. Eventually, you got to start partnering with God, right, and working together with God to live fully into who he made you to be. But we simply confess, right? We receive salvation, right? You don't achieve salvation. God, Jesus came full of grace and truth. And so we simply confess that he is Lord. And the good news for you today is that you can have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Simply by saying, Jesus, I need you. Like, I confess that you're Lord. I want to believe. We talked a couple weeks ago, right? Like, I do believe, help my unbelief, right? I'm not quite all the way there. But the good news is that God is personal, and you can know him through a relationship with Jesus Christ. You see, all throughout the scriptures, we see God moving towards us, longing for this personal connection. I could take you on a journey today if you wanted to stay here all day. And we could start in Genesis, right? The beginning, first book of the Bible, right? And work through every single book, all 66 of them, right? Get to the very end, and you see it's a journey of God drawing near. God wanting to have a personal connection with you, with his creation, the pinnacle of his creation. All through the scriptures, we see that God moves towards us. And Jesus' life demonstrates the heart of a personal God. Jesus moves towards people. Jesus makes it personal, because everything changes when it's someone that you know. Throughout the Gospels, we see that things changed when Jesus made a personal connection with people. When Jesus shows up to the woman who is at the well in the middle of the day, right, and he begins to lean into her life, right, everything changed in her life because he addressed her. When he spends time in Mary and Martha's home, it changes their lives. When he looks all the disciples one by one in the eye and says, come, follow me, it changes their lives. When he intercepts Saul on the road to Damascus and he falls off his horse, he has a personal encounter with the risen Lord. It radically changed his life. See, he makes space for the blind man, which we're going to see in a minute. He takes curiosity in a short man hiding up in a tree. That radically changes his life. You see, personal connection matters to a God who wants to be personal with you. And Jesus demonstrates this over and over again, how he draws near, because everything changes when it's someone that you know. So if you got your Bibles, Luke chapter, the end of chapter 18 and then 19. Jesus makes a personal connection with a blind beggar who in Mark chapter 9 names him as Bartimaeus, right? And this guy named Zacchaeus, who is a tax collector, not necessarily one of the well-loved folks in that day and time. He makes a personal connection with them and their lives are radically transformed. And I think that there are a few things that we can learn from how Jesus interacts with them and how to live out our value of personal connection through those encounters. A few ways that we, like Jesus, can take on flesh in people's lives. So fancy word alert, you ready? Here it is. You can leave today if you didn't know this before, saying you learned something at church, right? The word is incarnation, right? And this means to put on flesh, right? So Jesus puts on flesh, and then as we follow Jesus, we put on flesh in people's lives in the world, right? We get involved in people's lives through personal connection. So Luke chapter 18, this is the story, this is verse 35 through 43, the story of the blind man. Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. Right, so he is making his way from Galilee, kind of coming south, and then it's going to go up to Jerusalem. He goes through the town of Jericho to get there. So here it is. As Jesus approached Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard the crowd going by, he asked what was happening. They told him, "Jesus of Nazareth is passing by." He called out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Those who led the way rebuked him and told him to be quiet. But he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped. We're going to come back to that. And ordered the man be brought to him. When he came near, Jesus asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" "Lord, I want to see," he replied. Jesus said to him, "Receive your sight. Your faith has healed you." Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus, praising God. When all the people saw it, they also praised God. Going to chapter 19, Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached that spot, he looked up to him and he said, there you go. Some of you know the song, right? He said, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately, right? I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Jesus stood up and said to the Lord, Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost." So let's get really practical, all right, for me. Is it okay to get practical, like actually put this thing into action? Right? How do we do this? How do we do personal connection? I think Jesus shows us a few things that are simple, but not necessarily easy. Right? They're straightforward, but sometimes a little bit hard to do. How does Jesus do personal connection? Well, the first one I think is this: Jesus slowed down for personal connection. How many would confess today, just be honest, right, that it's sometimes hard to slow down? Right? A few of you. Some of you are like, all right, right? Like, yeah, life comes at you fast. Right? And things change every day, especially if you got kids, right? But Jesus shows us that we have to slow down for personal connection. So with both the beggar and Zacchaeus, we see that Jesus stopped, right? We see this in Luke 18. Jesus stopped on his way. He's going into Jericho on his way up to Jerusalem and ordered the man be brought to him. Crowds are all around, right? With Zacchaeus, it says that Jesus entered Jericho but was passing through. Right, he's on his way. Jesus is a busy guy, right? You kind of the savior of the world type thing going on, right? So he's got things he's doing. He's got important things to do in Jerusalem, saving the world being a fairly high priority for him, right? I don't know like how busy or important your days are, but last I checked, none of you are trying to save the world, right? Okay, so you're not that busy. Right? And we're not that important, right? Jesus has already done the work, right? He's on the way to literally save the world, and he stops. He stops for personal, he slows down for Bartimaeus, right, the blind beggar, and Zacchaeus. A personal connection with Jesus changed their lives. And for that to happen, Jesus had to slow down. He had important places to be, right? Probably more important people to potentially connect with, right? But he slows down. He stops. Living into our value of personal connection requires us to slow down. Requires us to slow down so that we notice the people God is placing in our lives. We just got to slow down, or we don't notice. We lose the ability to notice the Spirit. Right? We already said that you didn't come here on accident. Right? Spirit's already been working, and we believe the Spirit is working in everybody's lives in the world. Right? And he just might use you to come to have a personal encounter with somebody that could change their lives. But if we don't slow down, we don't notice. We don't notice the Spirit at work. We don't notice how the Spirit might be leading us. And of course, Jesus is the Son of God, so Jesus notices, right? And he stops, right? He slows down. He changes his plans. And so practical application is, where can you eliminate hurry in your life to make room for personal connection? I'll give you a couple examples, right, to get into your business a little bit today, right? The first one is this, right? Just evaluate your calendar. Right, what does your calendar look like? Right, I've got, like many of you, I have my calendar on my phone, right? And then I have my wife's calendar, right? And then I have my kids' calendar. And in my Google calendar, you know, you can click those calendars on and off, right? To see like I just like my wife's calendar, I'm like, holy smokes, that thing goes off, right? So busy, right? And because of her work, if I put them all on there, I'm like, wow, there's not even time to like eat. Like there's too much going on. And so maybe you got to figure out how to build margin into your life. What is margin? Another way to say that is we might call it white space, right? Anybody have a spot in their calendar that you currently have nothing planned? Okay, a few of you, good. Here's the deal. Don't put something there. Right? That's called building margin in our lives, right? That's called building white space in our lives. And it just may be like, man, like I left that space open and then nothing happened. It was so good. Right? But we tend to see white space and we fill it, right? We tend to see an open spot just because life's busy. But sometimes we have to be intentional about building margin in our lives so that we can slow down just enough to be able to begin to notice. And sometimes those white spaces in your calendar, God will use, right, to help you see what's happening in the people around you. Maybe it's just in your own family, right? But we tend to overschedule everything. And along with that, so evaluate your schedule, right? And here we go, right? So those of you with kids, right, evaluate your kids' schedule. Right? If you've had kids, you know that sometimes that they drive your schedule, right? And sometimes we need to evaluate and say, hey, like these things are good and important, but they're making us crazy. And sometimes we just need to say, no, it's okay to be less involved, right? So that we can slow down to notice. It's good for your kids too, to slow down so they can notice. So evaluate your calendar, maybe evaluate your kids' schedule. All right, here's another one, do more with less. All right, anybody's lives cluttered? Anybody have too much stuff, right, in their life? And I'm talking about even material things, right? Sometimes we get so much stuff in our lives that our lives are just cluttered, right? And so it's hard. We feel like we have no margin because we have so many things to take care of. Sometimes we just need to do more with less, and we need to simplify our lives. And then finally, I would say this is one of our nine spiritual practices is begin to lean into the practice of Sabbath. A 24-hour, shocking, 24-hour period of time where you can stop, rest, delight, and worship. And it's so hard, right? Like my schedule is like, I hope to start Sabbath at 6 p.m. on Friday and go till 6 p.m. on Saturday because I work on Sundays, right? And so I try to get those 24 hours. I don't want to tell you what my percentage of like doing that is. Right, but I have it there every week to lean into it, right? And sometimes it works. It worked this week, praise the Lord, right? But sometimes it doesn't. Like, I don't beat myself up about it, right? But I know that I've got to lean into that practice of Sabbath to slow down so that I can notice. I slow down for personal connection, to connect with God and others. And these practices provide the rhythm of development in our lives. They provide spaces where we begin to grow into who God wants us to be. All right, so evaluate your calendar, maybe your kids' schedule, do more with less. Sabbath practice, right? So that's part of the slowing down to notice, right? Slowing down for personal connection. Here's the other thing, right? So we slow down for personal connection. We see that Jesus does that with Bartimaeus and Zacchaeus. The other thing we find that Jesus does here is Jesus was curious. And so curiosity fosters personal connection. We have a new puppy right now, a seven-month-old puppy, and her name is Georgie, and we named her that, my kids named her that, because she is perpetually curious, so Curious George is kind of the way, right? Always getting into trouble, always eating something, or out exploring something, or rolling in some animal poop somewhere, right? And it's just always, and it's partly because I just let her go and do it, right? But we need to grow in our curiosity, right? Curiosity fosters personal connection. Back to our scripture, Luke 18. Jesus stopped, this is the blind man, and ordered the man to be brought to him. When he came near, Jesus asked him, here it is, what do you want me to do for you? And the guy's like, well, it's obvious, I'm blind, right? No, Jesus, Lord, I want to see. Right? Well, see, when we slow down and ask questions, we demonstrate value to other people. We show people that they matter. Right? Nobody cared about the blind man on the side of the road. Right? It was like, shh, like important people coming by. You shush, right? And Jesus is like, no. Like, I'm going to ask him a question because this demonstrates value to him. And taking the time to ask questions helps us to set aside maybe our assumptions about other people. James teaches us to be slow to speak and quick to listen. Right? And Jesus's curiosity opens the door for change in both Bartimaeus and Zacchaeus' lives. And when we get curious about another person's story or perspective, it not only recognizes their value as a person created in the image of God, but it opens the door for change in us and in other people. You see, everything changes when it's someone you know. Did you know, probably your experience, that it's easier to keep people at arm's length, right? To kind of keep everybody out here, right? To keep like, well, that's their thing, or that's the way they see the world, or that's, you know, and if I keep people out here, if I keep them at a distance, it's just a whole lot easier to hold my opinion. It's a whole lot easier to hold my personal perspective if I keep you kind of out there. All right, if I keep you as a them, then it's just a whole lot easier for me to kind of feel good about myself. But what happens when we take our arms from this to this and bring people close, bring personal connection in, everything begins to change. Maybe you've experienced that. Maybe you experienced a family member who has cancer, and all of a sudden it matters to you now. All of a sudden finding a cure for cancer matters more to you than it did before. Maybe you've had a friend or have a friend that lived in Ukraine. Have one here. And all of a sudden what happens in Ukraine matters to me now because I have a friend that used to live there. Or maybe when your friend is the immigrant who lives next door who's scared to leave their house, now that matters to you a little bit more. Now you have a personal investment in that because everything changes when it's someone you actually know. Maybe you have a family member or a friend who's in the military. Right? And so how people respond to that, how people respond to, you know, the Pledge of Allegiance or the National Anthem matters a little bit more to you because you have a personal connection with a friend or a family member who serves. Maybe it's when your child or your grandchild doesn't yet believe, now what happens in student ministry or family ministry or on a Sunday morning matters to you a little bit more now because you have a personal connection to that. Maybe it's your friend who has personally experienced racism. Now the issue of racism matters to you a little bit more. You see, everything changes when it's someone that we know, when we bring people close. And the list could go on and on and on. See, when I lean into the value of personal connection by being curious, it opens the door for change in me and change in others. And often, the first thing to change is me. All right, so let's look at Zacchaeus again, Jesus' encounter with Zacchaeus. And in this encounter, Zacchaeus is the curious one. It says, a man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was chief tax collector and was wealthy. Here it is, verse 3. He wanted to see who Jesus was. There was a curiosity. We don't know why, right? But there's a curiosity in Zacchaeus about who Jesus was. Zacchaeus has a problem. He's short, right? And he couldn't see over the crowd, right? But he's resourceful, right? Zacchaeus doesn't whine about how nobody notices him. Zacchaeus doesn't whine about how nobody talks to him or how people don't like him, right? He does something about it. He gets curious, right? And that opens the door for change in his own life. He wanted to see who Jesus was. And so he runs ahead of the crowd, right? He climbs up a tree, probably looks ridiculous. I don't know, right? Climbs up a tree. Like, his curiosity opened the door for change to have a personal encounter with Jesus Christ that radically transformed his life. Blind Bartimaeus shouts from the side of the road, Jesus, like Son of David. Have mercy on me. Everybody's ignoring him. Jesus! He's getting obnoxious at that point, right? He's trying to yell over the crowd, right? He knows he wants to have this personal encounter with Jesus Christ, and I'm responsible to open myself up for personal connection. And you just need to know that it takes effort. Personal connection takes effort. Sometimes it's exhausting. I tend to fall like more I'm in the introvert zone. Any kind of introvert ambiverts out there? Right? I can act like an extrovert, right? You might see me up here on a platform and like so much energy, right? And I go home like I just want to sleep all day, right? Like I kind of live in both worlds, right? And you don't have to be either one, right? We're still both responsible for some level of personal connection. And so we lean in and like Zacchaeus and the blind man, right? We lean into it. We get curious. We might have to shout from the side of the road, but I'm responsible for it. Both for those, and we're responsible for those wanting it and those initiating it. And we try to create opportunities here at LCC for you to do that. This is why, like, if you come every week, you're like, it's just like the wah, 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 the Charlie Brown voice, right? When we start talking about, like, the person, like, the Connect card and things like that, you're just like, wah, 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 right? But we want to create ways for you to connect. We want a personal connection with you, right? And so that's a simple way to help somebody say, hey, I'm here. Could you notice me? And we follow up on those things, right? We want to have a personal connection with you. This is why we have life groups. Right, because we believe you need to be face to face with people in a smaller environment. This is why we serve breakfast burritos out in the lobby and say, hey, come a little bit early, hang out with people, get face to face with somebody in the cafe. One of the cool things that's happening right now, every other Monday or second and fourth Monday, is a thing we call Momco. Right, for moms with little kids to come around and have a personal connection with people, to see somebody face to face who's maybe in the same life stage as they are and say, hey, I just need somebody to see me right now who doesn't need to be changed. Right? Could you see me? Right? And so we're excited about spaces like that, or ministry teams, right, where we develop these strong personal connections. We try to create opportunities to help you do that, to help you move towards people. And sometimes that means you gotta slow down. Sometimes it means you gotta get a little bit curious. But when I open myself up to others, as scary as that might seem, I put myself in a position to be changed. Right? But it also opens up the door for change in others. We become agents of change in the world. Right? The scripture calls it agents of reconciliation. We open ourselves up. You see, Jesus didn't hang out in the synagogue and wait for people to come to him. Right? All the stories in the Gospels are him like wandering around the countryside, right? Going out to people. Right? He goes out. He sends his disciples out because everything changes when it's someone that you know. Jesus finds Zacchaeus in a tree, invites himself over for the night, which we teach our kids that's rude. Don't invite yourself over. Well, Jesus did it, right? I'm coming to your house, right? You know, and he invites himself over to Zacchaeus' house, right? And Zacchaeus' life is radically changed, right? And by his own curiosity, this opens the door. Zacchaeus is curious. I want to know more about this Jesus guy. I'm going to climb this tree. Jesus is like, yo, you're weird. I'm going to your house tonight, right? And it opens up the door for change in his own life. He sees the blind beggar. Jesus gets curious. What do you want me to do for you? And his life is forever changed. You see, when we slow down for personal connection, we open the door for change in us and others. And when we show up in people's lives with curiosity and allow them to show up in ours, everything changes. You see, everything changed when God took the initiative and took on flesh in the person of Jesus Christ. Aren't you grateful for that? God takes on flesh. God takes on flesh because everything changes when it's someone you know. When you can have a personal relationship with a personal God who's motivated by love, everything changes. And when you have a personal relationship with Jesus, nobody can take that away. You've had that encounter, right? No circumstance in your life can take that away. You have a personal relationship that changes everything, and everything changes when it's someone you know, especially the person of Jesus Christ. And ultimately, for many of you in this room today, you're here because of a personal connection to Jesus. You worship because of a personal connection to Jesus. You serve because of a personal connection to Jesus. You get uncomfortable at times because of personal connection to Jesus, because that's what God did for you and me. That personal connection with Jesus compels us to embody the Jesus way in the world, moving towards people because people matter, taking on flesh in people's lives by slowing down to notice, getting curious about their lives. Personal connection, some of you are going to say amen to this. Personal connection doesn't mean we become best friends with everyone, right? Or that we do everything, right? That's not what it means, right? It means we've got to begin to notice. What does it mean to recognize the image of God in everyone? That everyone has value. That everyone has purpose, that everyone is worthy of honor and respect, that we refuse to hide behind social media or ideologies that create others, right? And that we seek to bring people in, that our value of personal connection compels us to move towards people, not away. And when we are at our best as a church, we lead with open arms. Like we say, come on in. We bring people close by trying to slow down and get curious. We value personal connection because we love and serve a personal God who not only takes on flesh in the person of Jesus Christ, but then gives us the gift of his Holy Spirit. Literally God in us. Talk about personal. Right? The Spirit in you to equip you and empower you to be his tangible presence in the world. Because everything changes when it's someone you know. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who was full of grace and truth. And your life, my life, can be full of grace and truth when we remember that we serve a personal God who wants to know you personally. In a moment, as we've been doing the last several weeks, we're going to invite you to come and receive communion elements. And communion is a reminder of a God who values personal connection. A God who came near. A God who doesn't keep his distance, but gives himself in the person of Jesus Christ. And as we partake of his body and his blood, this bread and the juice, may we be reminded again that everything changes when it's someone you know. And maybe today, as you receive the elements, maybe you'll experience that for the very first time. Maybe you'll experience a personal connection with Jesus for the very first time, that you'll receive forgiveness through Christ's body and his blood. We'd invite you to do that today, to step into a relationship with Jesus. Even as you receive the elements, Jesus, I want to know you. I want to thank you for forgiving me, and I want to have a personal connection with you. Would you do that in me today? Maybe today, as you receive the elements, you'll be reminded of how your life was changed through a personal relationship with Jesus. And may that then compel you to a personal connection with other people. I identify with you, Jesus, in your life and in your death. May you help me to live your life in this world. So this morning, I want to invite you, as our worship team prepares to come and and pick your elements up. We have elements down front here and in the back. And I know the last several weeks we've asked you just to take them on your own. I'm going to ask you to hold them today, and I'm going to come back up and we're going to all receive together, right? Because we are the body of Christ, right? And so, yes, we all have individual personal relationships with Jesus Christ, but together we make up the body of Christ in the world. And so we're going to receive the elements together today. So pick them up, take them back to your seat as the worship team leads us, then I'll come back up and we'll all receive those together. And I invite you to, maybe you want to come and pray, you're welcome to do that. You can hang out at the altars here and stay there the whole time if you want. But we serve and love a God who made it personal by sending his son to take on flesh, to ultimately die for us, that we might have life eternally, that we might have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And again, I just want to encourage you today, if that's you and you're like, man, I don't have that and I want that, step into it today. Or just say, Jesus, I need you. Right? You might be like the blind beggar, like, Jesus, Son of God, have mercy on me. You don't know what you're getting into, or you're more like Zacchaeus. You're like, I'm just curious, and I'm going to kind of step into this and not know exactly what I'm getting into, but God is faithful to meet you right where you're at, right as you came in today. Right, nothing else you have to do but show up, right, and receive what he has for you. So I'd invite you to do that as well. I want to pray for us, invite you to come. Our worship team's going to come and lead us in a song, and then I'll come up and we'll all receive communion together. So would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me? Jesus, I thank you that you make it personal. That God, you're not a distant God who just kind of watches things happen, but you are intimately involved in our lives. Scripture says you are intimately acquainted with all of our ways. And Lord, you know every person in this room. And I pray, God, today that they might have a personal encounter with you. Maybe for the very first time, maybe as they receive the elements here in a moment, it'll just be a reminder of how everything changed when they came to know you. When you found them, when they were stuck in a pit, God, or when they were curious, or when they were broken, and you brought healing and hope into their lives, and you continue to bring healing and hope into their lives. And so, Jesus, as we take just these next few moments, would you draw near? Spirit, would you continue to speak what is true? We just want to be with you. We want to be changed by you. So we give you permission to work here in these next few minutes. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Hey everyone, thanks for listening to today's sermon from Life Community Church. We hope it sparked something in you. Maybe a thought, a challenge, a next step, or even a few questions you're still turning over. If you've ever left a sermon thinking, I wish I could ask about that, then you're going to want to check out our follow-up podcast. Each week, we take questions submitted after Sunday service, questions sparked by the sermon, and we dig into them right here. Some might be practical, some a little more theological, and some might even make you laugh. But the goal is always the same, to give you space to think, reflect, and stay curious as you grow in your faith. So head over to the follow-up and catch our next episode, where your questions from today's sermon could get answered. It's a safe space, conversational, and yes, sometimes a little fun. Don't sit on those questions. Bring them to the table and let's explore them together. We'll see you there.